the NO Bio, the ultimate Saints podcast with Nate Lundy.
Welcome into the podcast. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. A lot on tap for the podcast this week as we kick things off. We'll get to our big interview in just a moment. Talk about the big storylines as training camp and the preseason are underway and the start of the regular season is just a couple of weeks away. Plus, we'll do Around the League with the coach, Brian Billick from NFL Network, as we will every week, a chance to visit with the coach. And we'll close things out this week's podcast with Overtime, a six pack of questions. This week's guest, Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. But it all gets started with the big interview next.
The big interview.
All right, it is time for our big interview as we talk about the Saints. We take a trip to New Orleans, get a chance to talk with John Hendricks of Canal Street Chronicles. You find him on Twitter at John J. Hendricks, as in Jimi Hendrix, by the way. And you can also find the Twitter handle for at Saints CSC, as in Canal Street Chronicles. John with us. John, let's start off here. If you had to give a grade so far in the preseason to what you've seen overall out of the Saints, what would that letter grade be?
Well, if we're talking about the offense, I'd probably say in the range of a D. If we're talking about the defense, I'd probably say in the range of a B. The offense, specifically on the offensive line, has created a lot of real concerns for this team. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and they really have to show us something against the Steelers. And as far as the defense, I think they've kind of stood the test of a lot of different things, especially from the front four, front seven of that line, that they've just really shown a lot of improvement year over year, which is a really good sign.
So let's dive in specifically to that defense, because we know that in that division, for certain, when you're going up against the likes of Matt Ryan, you're going up against Cam Newton, that defense is going to be really important. You gave them a pretty decent grade overall. So what, diving into that a little bit deeper, John, what's been the highlights and what's been the stuff that you still have concerns about?
Well, the big thing for the front four is that second-year defensive tackle Tyler Davidson should be getting the starting nod. And this is a guy I actually mocked to the Saints in last year's draft, right in the fifth round, actually. I just really liked what he has to offer. He's a real big presence. He draws a lot of double teams. But now they finally got the piece next to him right, which was Sheldon Rankins, but unfortunately he's going to be out for the first several weeks with that broken fibula. But Nick Fairley, as a free agent, was just one of the real big hits they had. James Laurinaitis had a real big hand in getting this guy over to New Orleans. Fairley is a New Orleans Saints fan. He grew up one. He also grew up in Mobile, Alabama, which is not too far from us. And I just see those two big key pieces paying off dividends for the Saints, especially when they had one of the league's worst run defenses last year. So you get those two interior pieces fixed. You have Cam Jordan coming back from a Pro Bowl year with 10 sacks on the year. And then you've got your edge rusher on the other side, which is really interesting. That's the only missing piece that I think we have right there. Kasim Edebali entering his third, fourth year, I think he's going to end up being the starter. But I think they'll look at more of a committee approach for that front four. But those are big things. And they had the linebacker overhaul, where they brought in James Laurinaitis, who I just talked about. You get Craig Robertson in the mix from Cleveland, Nathan Stupar from the Falcons. Huge additions, and you finally have a healthy Danelle Ellaby, which is a huge, huge lift for this team.
John Hendricks with us, Canal Street Chronicles, part of the SB Nation, and of course covering the Saints. John, let's go over to the offensive side of things. You know, everybody is familiar with Drew Brees. Everyone understands the relationship with Sean Payton. But what about the receiving options for Brees? Brandon Cooks out of Oregon State steps up and winds up being a name that everybody got to know. Michael Thomas is now in that mix. Just overall, his receiving options. We'll talk about tight end in a second, but just talk about the wide receivers and what your assessment is so far about the weapons Brees has on the other end of the pass.
Well, he's definitely not short of weapons this year, for sure, which is a great thing for Brees. Brandon Cooks is coming off of a career year, looks to be obviously the team's number one option. You have Willie Sneed, who really impressed everybody last year as an undrafted guy. When he started making his journey for the Browns, came in, and he was almost a 1,000-yard receiver by himself. Then you got Michael Thomas in the mix, second-round draft pick out of Ohio State. and he's been everything that Saints had hoped for and then some. You know, honestly, he could be this year's best wide receiver that came out of the draft. And I don't say that because, you know, loosely. It's just the fact that this guy's work ethic is unquestioned. He's determined. He's a student of the game. He's getting in rhythm with Breeze. So that's a really good option for them to have. Now, once you get past the first three, that's where you start getting a little bit of the question marks. You think Brandon Coleman, third year out of Rutgers, is supposed to get that fourth wide receiver spot, but he's been really struggling. Undrafted rookie free agent Tommy Lee Lewis out of Northern Illinois, he's been really tearing it up, and he should end up making his team, even though he's a little bit a smaller guy. But, you know, first three wide receivers definitely set, and that's going to be some key toys for Drew Brees this year.
All right, I mentioned we were going to talk about the tight ends. Obviously, everybody knows the history of Jimmy Graham, who's now gone. Now they go out and get Kobe Fleener coming out of his time with the Colts. I've got to think, because of the history with Jimmy Graham, that fans have a really high expectation on Kobe Fleener, but what's realistic?
Yeah, and I think it's safe to assume that the expectation's there. I mean, you think back into the Saints' track history, it kind of started with Jeremy Shockey coming into the mix, and Graham, who was an understudy of Shockey, really ended up surging. And then, you know, everybody panicked when they thought Graham was going to be out of the picture. Benjamin Watson comes in and has a career year. So the expectation for Kobe Fleener is high. And, you know, this is a guy who got paid $36 million with half of his contract guaranteed, and has never been, you know, a 1,000-yard receiver, nothing really big with Andrew Luck in the mix. And, you know, the good news is that he's picking up everything in the offense. The Saints are going to use those three tight end sets or two tight end sets. That's not going to go away, which bodes well for Fleener. And, you know, we're looking at, you know, the wide receivers we talked about. Suddenly you start putting those three, Sneed, Cooks, and Thomas on the field. You put Fleener on the field. It's a thing where you're going to have to worry about who you guard. So I think Fleener's proven that he can get behind linebackers with ease. So that's going to bode well, again, for Breeze and Sean Payton's offense.
John Hendricks with us, Canal Street Chronicles, the website, part of SB Nation, and John's on Twitter, at John J. Hendricks. John, what about the running game? It certainly for this team, it feels like it's been a lot of running back by committee. Is that going to continue, or is somebody going to emerge as a bell cow? What's the take there?
Well, you know, make no mistake about it. Mark Ingram, after having a couple of years where he took a lot of criticism, I think the turning point for him was the 2013 divisional game against the Eagles. I'm sorry, the wild card game, excuse me. That's kind of when he had his breakout and showed us the player that he was supposed to be. Had a good 2014 campaign. Injuries cut short his first career 1,000-yard rushing season. Kind of the same story last year. That's just kind of been the problem, is the durability. You know, Ingram's going to get the bulk of the workload. That's not going to change the Saints' offense. They have Tim Hightower, who's going to be right behind him, assuming, you know, he does stick around on the roster. But I think the big concern, obviously, for me is that offensive line, because through the first couple of preseason games, they have not been able to open lanes and really get much of a push. It's been pretty bad. But, you know, Mark Ingram is definitely the team's number one option. Sean Payton's going to stick it out with him, and I don't see anything changing from that aspect.
If you had to predict, John, right now, what you think the win-loss record is going to be come January at the end of the regular season, what's your guess for total wins?
You know, it's a tough call to say, you know, based off of what we know now. You know, I've seen a whole bunch of things from as low as 3 or 4, you know, 5, 6. It just depends. But, you know, realistically, Drew Brees can win you 5 to 7 games. That's just the truth of it all. So I see a 7-9 win team, you know, 7-9. It's not ideal, but the feeling right now that I see based off of everything in the preseason and all the improvements, I see a 9-win team. I don't see much else to say this team is going to be double digits. They're going to be an NFC South, you know, champions, nothing like that. 9-7 is a starting point. We'll see about a wild card. But I do expect a lot of improvement from this team.
If it is 7-9 overall, John, can you see a scenario where the team moves on from Sean Payton, or is he safe?
I I'd say it's safe to say that Sean Payton's pretty safe. You know, I tell people that the big turning point after all the national media speculation about him leaving and going elsewhere, the reality is that him and Mickey Loomis, the general manager, worked everything out. Sean Payton has been such a reinvigorated coach since January press conference that he had when he announced that he had that 5-year extension in his briefcase. And it shows he's been a coach like we first got. And you know, sometimes maybe it's those losing seasons that take you back and make you realize that you got to shift your priorities and such. But, you know, let's just say if it goes south again, I don't think the emphasis is as much on Sean Payton, but I do think a lot of the player faces will change if this team doesn't get together a respectable season.
He's on Twitter at John J. Hendricks, part of the Canal Street Chronicles, covering the Saints for SB Nation, and you can find them on Twitter as well, Saints CSC. John, really appreciate the time. Thanks for visiting with us here in the preseason.
Appreciate you, man. Have a good one.
Stay tuned. The coach, Brian Billick, coming up next.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the league, and as we will do each week throughout the season, we're joined from the NFL Network. You find him on Twitter at Coach Billick. It is the coach, Brian Billick. And first of all, Coach, how's your offseason been?
It's been great. As usual, too short, but it's time for football, so we'll crank this thing up.
It always feels like it's too short. Let's talk about some of the stories from the offseason and even from training camp and beyond. A few interesting quarterback moves, so let's start here. First of all, what's your assessment of the Broncos' quarterback situation and the decision Gary Kubiak's having to make?
Well, anytime you take a quarterback in the first round, obviously L.A. doing it with Jared Goff and then Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and then Paxton Lynch in Denver. At some point, you've got to know these guys are going to start. I mean, since the, Aaron Rodgers did it in 2005, and he's the poster child for those that say, okay, you shouldn't start a quarterback. Let him sit in and learn behind somebody else. Well, with all due respect, he sat in behind Brett Favre. That's a Hall of Famer. And Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Paxton Lynch, they're not sitting behind Hall of Fame. In my opinion, they ought to play. And it sounds like Paxton Lynch, particularly with a team like Denver, that's going to pack a great defense. They anticipate running the ball well. Why would you not start him?
And then when you go from Denver, let's stay in the West. Let's go to the NFC West. What about what Chip Kelly is dealing with in San Francisco with Gabbert, with Kaepernick? It feels like it's a very odd situation that he's trying to decide who his quarterback for 2016 is going to be.
Yeah, you know, what the old adage is, if you have two or three quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I mean, it should be very clear-cut. And he may have already decided. I think there's still an upside for Colin Kaepernick. We'll see how he fits into the Chip Kelly system. You'd think it would be fabulous. Blaine Gabbert, I think we've seen, is a backup, a good, solid backup in this league. I don't know that you're going to be a championship-caliber club. Colin Kaepernick still has a little of that upside. But the hard thing will be that this roster is not a great roster right now. It's not a great defense. You know, you hope that Carlos Hyde can stay healthy and run the ball. The receiving core, they have some potential there, but I don't know they have the absolute go-to guy, and that includes their tight ends. Vance McDonald is kind of pedestrian. So I think the group that he's going to be working with, along with the defense that's clearly having to rebuild, I think there's going to be some challenges for Chip in San Francisco.
What about a positive quarterback story, at least from what we've seen in the preseason so far, and that's Robert Griffin III in Cleveland. A lot of folks feel like maybe we're starting to see the RG3 that we saw at the very beginning in Washington.
Well, you hope so, because obviously this guy has a lot of talent. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, that's something obviously everybody's going to watch to see, because they keep saying, we're going to let Robert Griffin be Robert Griffin. Well, when Robert Griffin was Robert Griffin, when he was RG3, he got hurt. And so I'm looking for a guy that can he beat you from the pocket? Yeah, can he do the things outside? He's got potentially, and I'm hesitant to use that word because the old adage is in coaching, son, your potential is going to get me fired. But if there's some potential, it looks like Terrell Pryor has some upside in terms of the receiver. If indeed Josh Gordon can come back and be solid for them, if they can get that running game cranked up, then that's going to complement RG3 and give them a chance, obviously, to piece this thing together. And I don't think anybody expects them to be a playoff team, but they can be a good, solid competitive team.
The buzz down in Dallas is, of course, all about Dak Prescott, and we know it's a limited sample size of preseason, but what were your thoughts on Prescott going into the draft, and are they coming to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at Dak Prescott, this is different than the first-round conversation, which is good, because for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously with Tony Romo, it's all about keeping Tony Romo healthy. But if you can get and reach down into the fourth round like they did for Dak Prescott, this is a talented guy. A lot of people will equate his game a little bit in terms of Russell Wilson. Now, that you say that, people go, oh, boy, well, this guy needs to be your starter. I'm just saying that he's a later draft choice that's showing some potential. I did see an interesting comment from him in talking about how he feels like he's ready for whatever the NFL is going to throw at him, whether it's a vanilla defense or, as he said, a rocky road defense. I think I'm ready. Well, let's hold on that. I prefer to have a rookie quarterback know just enough to be afraid, because I love the bravado, but the difference that he'll see in the regular season versus the preseason, notwithstanding Tony Romo staying healthy, but obviously for Dallas, they've got the best of both worlds. If indeed he can be a serviceable backup, get a young quarterback that they can develop, you couldn't ask for more than your backup quarter position.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, as we go around the league. Coach, let's talk about a couple of coaching changes. How do you think the young Adam Gase, and I always wind up feeling older when I see a head coach who's 30, but nonetheless, a young Adam Gase, how do you think he'll do in Miami?
Well, he's got it set up to do very well. I mean, he was brought in. He's the current quarterback whisperer. So he's going to come in, and Tannehill is going to be that next protege, that next quarterback. Indeed, can he transform this guy who's had a solid beginning in his career? That's how it's going to be judged, because the expectations in Miami are very high in terms of what they think they can do. Obviously, in that division, it's all about, can you supplant New England? I don't know if they're good enough to do that. So the next question is, are they good enough to be a wild card team? And that's a tall order in the AFC.
What about Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? What's your assessment of Peterson?
Well, he certainly brings the right pedigree in terms of having been a former player, being a part of successful teams with Andy Reid. He's certainly in a familiar situation. Let's go back and remember that Doug Peterson was brought in to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in Andy Reid's first year in 1999 to basically hold down the spot until Donovan McNabb could eventually take it over, which he did middle to late season. Now, that was a 5-11 team. He now is sitting on a team where he's got a couple quarterbacks, more than a couple. Sam Bradford, obviously, they paid all that money to. They went out and moved up and used a lot of assets to go get Carson Wentz. But I was up at their training camp, early in training camp, and had a chance to visit with Coach Peterson. And he and Howie Roseman, the general manager, seemed wholly committed to Carson Wentz not playing this year. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. As I said, since Aaron Rodgers took over or was drafted back in 2005, 29 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round, and only a handful have not played in the first year. Only four, to be exact: Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Brady Quinn, and Jake Locker. Now, that's not an impressive list outside of Rodgers. So those that want to make the camp, well, maybe you shouldn't play your quarterback in the first year, hasn't turned out real well. So we're going to find out if Doug Peterson wants to emulate what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles and just kind of be a placeholder until they can get Carson Wentz into the starting lineup.
As you look at the NFL over the course of the last year, certainly the last 8 or 9 months, Coach, we've seen, whether it's the Al Jazeera report, we've seen Deflategate, we've seen a number of things going on. Are we in jeopardy at all with the league of Roger Goodell, any of the decisions or anything that he's doing? Is it starting to hurt the image of the league when it comes to the fans?
Well, I don't think so, particularly when we're talking, talking out of both sides of the mouth, when the media wants to say, well, is Roger Goodell too tough? Is he too authoritarian, as the players and the union will say? But by the same token, the NFL can't suffer these black eyes. He's got to get it under control. And that's really what it's going to come down to. We just saw the recent situation in the Olympics with Ryan Lochte, and how it's so often it's not the act itself, it's the cover-up or the lack of taking responsibility for it that is much much more difficult, and that's what Roger Goodell and the league are trying to do, to make sure that these players understand there's going to be an accountability. There's a red line in the sand, and if you cross it, you're going to be held accountable for it.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. Last one for you, Coach. Give me a team that is going to surprise us, and it could be a team that we think isn't going to be very good, who's going to be better than expected, or a team that has high expectations that's going to underachieve.
Wow. Well, let's go with the positive on that. And you know, when we talk about this and the work I do for the NFL Network, we're at that time of year where everybody wants to talk about that same thing about who are the teams that are going to surprise us? And the criteria is, okay, let's begin with the teams that weren't in the playoffs last year.
Right.
Because obviously you got to see what the Carolina Panthers do. Washington Redskins, who I think are going to be pretty good. Can they get back in the playoffs? But a team that clearly needs to do well for their coach, but I think his position could be pretty good, is Jacksonville. Now, they need to be good because obviously Gus Bradley's only got 10 or 11 wins, 12 wins over the last 3 years. But you've got to love, at least in the preseason and certainly in the third year, Blake Bortles seems ready, along with, you know, that great receiving core with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurn. The tight end position is a solid one with Mercedes Lewis. Julius Thomas, who they brought in last year in free agency, could step up and have a big year for them. And obviously in the running game, getting Chris Ivory to go with E.J. Yeldon. They're going to have some offensive weapons. And, of course, Gus Bradley went out and drafted a bunch of defensive guys who they're going to play. They don't have to be great defense, but they got to be better. This could be a team in the AFC South that really could be wide open that makes their way into the playoffs.
And they're benefited, Coach, aren't they, by the division that they're in? Sometimes the geography around you benefits you, that there isn't like a Patriots or a Carolina Panthers type team that they're trying to climb over either.
Yeah, and I regrettably, we always will start the season off and, okay, what coaches are on the hot seat? And well, that division's on the hot seat because every single one of those coaches, whether it be Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis, the expectations with a healthy Ryan Leaf, whether down on Mike Mularkey, all but a first year, you go, how can a first-year coach be on the hot seat? Well, let's remember what happened in Jacksonville where he went 1 year and got fired. The expectations that Marcus Mariota is going to be better. And obviously down in Houston, they went out and spent the big money on a quarterback that the Denver Broncos said they didn't want to spend the money on, and Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler's got to come through for Billy O'Brien, or it could be, you know, could be a problem for him. So I think that whole division of coaches is on a hot.
I say it every single year. You're a smarter football fan if you spend some time with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. Coach, look forward to visiting with you again throughout the season. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great. It'll be fun.
Coming up next, it will be time for Overtime, a six-pack of questions, rapid-fire style, with the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Overtime is next.
Overtime.
It is time for Overtime. That means we got a six-pack of questions, because what else do you do during overtime but make another trip to the bar and grab a six-pack so that you can enjoy it? This week, our guest in Overtime from the NFL Network is Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, how are you?
Nate, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. You ready for a six-pack of questions here?
Are they alcohol-free?
Well, they are alcohol-free, just in case you've got to go in front of the camera here in a moment.
Good.
All right.
Double check. Go ahead.
Let's start here. Question number one. Which rookie quarterback is going to start first, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, or Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch.
And why is that?
Jared Goff might be my other answer. I think it no doubt Case Keenum is going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams out of the gate. They have two difficult division games right out of the gate, so you're not going to see Goff, I don't think, in September. Paxton Lynch, as of our taping, Nate, still has a shot, if he performs well in week three of the preseason, to get the starting job, as absurd as that sounded a couple of weeks ago. And I think Paxton Lynch very well could be the two behind Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Siemian, somewhat unproven. That would put Paxton Lynch in a great position.
All right. Question number two. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott is going to break Tony Dorsett's 1977 rookie rushing record for the Cowboys of 1,007 yards?
Yes.
In what week?
Well, you need to average 66 yards, roughly, I believe, or 65 or something like that, a week to get to 1,000. So do the math. I say he looks like a 1,200-yard back.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you on that one. All right, question number three. Do you think that Tom Brady's suspension is going to mean the end of the Patriots' run at the top of the AFC East?
Absolutely not. Call me except in December when they win the division.
All right, question number four. Will this intriguing Jacksonville Jaguars team, led by a defense they've been rebuilding, do you think they make the playoffs?
I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say they make a run for it and look like a 9-7 team. I'm still not entirely sold, but I'm excited. When the schedule came out in April, I said Green Bay on the road week one at Jacksonville was your sneaky good game of September.
As you look at Cleveland, are we seeing the resurrection of Robert Griffin III?
Yes. The question is, how long will the life be once resurrected? He certainly looks good in the preseason. It is still the preseason. Pump your brakes, Dak Prescott fans. RG3 has proven he could play and win in this league. Can he do it as a dropback passer? Can Hugh Jackson truly, truly give him sustained success? I don't know. I mean, the right side of it off, well, right tackle is an issue. They have some weapons offensively, but blocking and tackling still will be an issue, which doesn't always bode well for the quarterback. Don't be shocked if they are in the number one overall discussion next year. Maybe not at number one, but at least trying to trade up to get a certain quarterback from the ACC, who for the time being shall remain nameless because he's an underclassman.
Let me do a follow-up to question number five. Do you think RG3 ever makes it back to the Pro Bowl?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater made the Pro Bowl last year, and I like Teddy, but he only had like 14 touchdown passes. The way people drop out of the Pro Bowl, I'll never say never for anybody making the Pro Bowl.
All right, last question from our six-pack in overtime with NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Do you believe by this time next year we will be referring to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say, because it's Vegas and we're playing the odds, that it is slightly better than 50-50 that we will. However, never underestimate the likelihood of an iconic franchise staying home with a last-second deal.
I have said that I'd never want to see a city lose their team, but given that I'm in Denver with the AFC West, it could be kind of fun with the Raiders in Vegas. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Nate, a man of your fame and your needs, you know, I can't imagine that you need a Raiders game to hop on a $79 one-way flight to Vegas.
As long as you're going to meet me there. It's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, part of Overtime with our six-pack of questions for this week. Andrew, thanks.
Yes, sir.
And there you have it. That's how the Overtime works, a six-pack of questions for a different analyst each week, and it also wraps up our podcast for this week. Thanks for being a part of it. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.